Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Ready!
Buffalo Bills game day on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
All right, here we go, here we go. We gotta have a drive.
23 left, 23 left. Will, 23.
It's time now for the Transit Town Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram Overtime Show. Transit Town, unbeatable prices, trusted service. Now, here's your host, Derek Kramer.
Hey! How you doing? Probably not great. This is the Transit Town Jeep Ram Overtime Show. Transit Town Jeep Ram, Buffalo's home for Jeep and Ram for 60 years and counting, as the Bills lose their first game of the season, 23-20 at the hands of the New England Patriots. Derek Kramer, Zach Jones across from me here, and I was debating playing like 30 minutes of fart sounds based on how the first half went.
I did see that. It seemed like some people were very receptive to that. So that's good. That's good.
It's good. Sense of humor in what was a terrible first half. At least the second half, things happened.
I do want to apologize to America, like the the neutral fan that watched this game, because it wasn't...
Shut that off at halftime,
it wasn't,
and you didn't look back.
It's the thing. It was a close game, the whole thing. It wasn't a particularly fun watch, though.
No.
There was a lot of penalties. There wasn't a ton of big splash plays. The beginning, too, was gross with the back-to-back fumbles and just very sloppy play by both teams. Look, this is a great win for New England. Just flat-out start right there. Great win for them. It makes the division race much more exciting and a close race that won't be done by Thanksgiving kind of deal. I didn't leave this game, though, thinking New England's some superpower or this, you know, on-the-rise team that, oh, here we – I left that feeling that way about Drake May. There's a difference. I left that way feeling about May of like, okay, that's something I never saw from Tua.
Yeah.
It's certainly something I never saw from Zach Wilson, right? I left this game feeling very, very – quote-unquote, good about Drake May. He scares the hell out of me going forward.
Yeah, so it actually makes...
But the talent-wise on this team, still couldn't run the ball. Stephon Diggs is 32, and he cooked you, but after that, they really had nothing else.
After that, they had nothing else.
Christian Gonzalez is very good, but ultimately, like, they're selling wholesale all of their draft picks from the last 2-3 years outside of May. Today felt a little bit much, a little bit more about the Bills and their issues. And for the first time in, what, 26, 27 games, losing the turnover battle, being genuinely sloppy. The penalty, I know people are going to blame the officials. This is now two straight games where the Bills have had double-digit penalties. It's not good.
That's not the officials.
It's not just the officials. That's you being sloppy.
That's two different ref crews. And not even just about being sloppy. Zach, a lot of them were pretty black and white.
There was a few... Not great, but yes.
But there were plenty, stop breaking the law. Mm-hmm. I can't say the last line that I'm quoting liar, liar from there. But the fact that they had two illegal formation penalties in the first half of that game is too many for a professional franchise. And they were the left, or the tackles uncovered.
Mm-hmm.
Those are penalties you commit in little loop. They should not be penalties you commit in the NFL. And for good measure, the Patriots did it too. I will never, ever say, oh, but the penalties. Oh, the refs had it out for us. First of all, take that victim complex, put it in the garbage. Please. Forever. Secondly, why are they throwing those many flags? Typically, you have to be in a compromisable position. Trey White has his back turned as he's pushing Stephon Diggs out of the end zone while the ball's in the air. That's a no-doubter. The Bills escape that one because New England still only settles for three. Holding. There is an acceptable amount of holding within blocking. It is inside the chest pad. If you grab the arm on the outside at the point of attack, they will get you. There is holding on every play. You can't be on the outside. There weren't a lot of those like, oh, defensive holding after a third down sack type of penalties. Mm-hmm. There was one, actually.
There was one.
But the Patriots also committed holding on the play, and it offset.
Yeah. I will also say there was one that frustrated me that after how many penalties they had called, they put it away when I think there was pretty clear defensive pass interference mm-hmm. on Khalil Shakir.
Yeah.
I thought that one was pretty clear. For me, it's tough to just blame the officials when I think this is one of the sloppier games the Bills have played in years.
And I
don't say that to be, you know, hyperbolic. You know the statistics. They've gone, 26 straight games of winning the turnover battle or at least getting a push. This was an awful game, kind of from start to finish. The defense had flashes early where it looked like, hey, they're going to be a little bit different. Okay, maybe they're fixing it. And then something we worried about in the pregame, all the way back to yesterday, because
it's now Monday
in the morning, we were worried, hey, I know the Bills have the quote-unquote number one pass defense in football right now. Is that, though, more to do with teams are just deciding to run on you? We got our answer tonight. It's teams are deciding to run on you. The Patriots can't really run the ball. Sure as hell can pass it. Stephon Diggs, back-to-back 100-yard games. He was easily the best receiver on the field tonight. His ability, even after a pretty bad injury last year, to just stop and go, it looks like he hasn't lost a step.
Yeah.
And that man can change his speed like almost no one else in the league. Still, at what is he, 32, 31, 32 years old?
And off of it.
It really is incredible to watch.
Off of that knee injury, it's very fitting, I think, that Diggs carved up the Bills on a day where the receivers were inconsistent in terms of getting open. Dalton Kincaid was easily your best target when it came to getting open and creating separation for himself. Easily.
I'm surprised I'm surprised you only had six targets.
My tight end
mm-hmm.
is the best player getting open today. Yesterday. Excuse me. It's Monday. Speaking of which, it's a Buffalo Bills football Monday. Later on in the morning, presented by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Jeremy and Joel will break the game down for you at 6 a.m. Then it's the Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio from 10 to noon. One Bills Live follows that up with Chris Brown and Steve Tasker at noon. Schulte and Bulldog take over at 3 o'clock on a Buffalo Bills football Monday all day tomorrow on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550. And when I say all day tomorrow, I do mean in like 4.5 hours. This game allows you to do a couple things when it comes to how you're feeling. One, anyone who's had bad vibes and bad feelings about the team over the last two games, when a win is a win is a win, and they still come away with double-digit wins, something that I've been professing. This game, it allows you to tee off on those concerns because now there's a loss. It also can be a way to exacerbate yourselves. I can talk. I get paid to say words. To exacerbate yourself very quickly. Because it is still only the first loss. But man, way to harsh the vibes 1 week before the bye.
It just feels like for me, and I'm somebody like that where – and we've talked a lot on the Extra Point Show, and I have pushed that as well. You know, they're 4-0, they're 3-0, they're 2 – whatever. it hasn't looked great. They're playing their C game, but they're winning. Like, that's a good sign. I don't want them to play their best football in September or early October. My fear is how many of these issues can you hide from?
Right.
How many of these issues can you just put in the corner and we'll deal with that next year, but we can live with this? I don't know how many of those are there. The defensive line is probably one of them. You're going to get some reinforcements. Ed Oliver's likely going to get healthy here pretty soon. Hopefully that's going to become a pretty good bright spot in your defense.
Right.
Secondary, corners. The longer this season goes on, the worse I feel about that. It's not just Trey White. Dorian Strong picks up a neck injury, immediately goes to IR. That's concerning. I know Sal talked about it on the pregame and even during the broadcast as well that that's very concerning. Max Harrison missed essentially all of training camp.
Right.
And he has a knee injury, and he's a player that built most of his success off of his physical ability, his speed. He's probably, in actuality, heading towards what should be a redshirt year. It may not happen. And then you have Trey White, who tonight, even with everything that went on, sadly was probably the biggest L tonight, if you want, the biggest loss, what have you. He was dreadful. He looks like he's shot. He looks like a guy that did have two major injuries that he was trying to come off of. And yeah, you'll maybe have, you know, a good play or two sprinkled in, but for the most part, he goes up against a guy like a Stephon Diggs, or even Boudé got after him. Pretty much whenever anyone was on Stephon or was on Trey White, that's who they went to.
That's what they went after.
It didn't really matter who the receiver. It happened to be Trey White, or it happened to be Stephon Diggs a lot. But it really kind of didn't matter. Whoever was on Trey, that's who they were going to go to. I don't really know if you can hide that problem. And it's been the same problem for 2-3 years now. They have not been able to find a corner or two. And now Benford is not having a particularly good year. I don't think you can hide from the corner room. Safety, Bishop is coming along. But Taylor Rapp has reared his ugly head into maybe just being a more physical version of DeMar Hamlin, a safety you kind of need to move on from sooner rather than later. The linebacker room, it's time to move on from Matt Milano. He's picked up another pec injury. He was questionable to return to this game. I don't even know if he came back in.
He was questionable to even play in this game.
And so, like, his health is a massive concern. And so the linebackers, you might be able to. Shaq Thompson looked pretty good. Terrell Bernard is just a ball hawk. He seems to find his way to a turnover every other game. It's kind of miraculous. It's amazing. Then you go over to the offense. I have, quote-unquote, less concerns there. Running back James Cook is still on pace for an all-pro season. That's been one of the few hits since 2019 Brandon Bean's had in the draft. He's been very good. Josh Allen, of course, is your quarterback. That's going to be just fine. The offensive line itself as well is a bright spot for them, especially in the run blocking and, of course, pass blocking as well. Allen had all day to throw tonight for the most part. And tight ends. Dalton Kincaid is really coming along. Your three tight end scheme is working. But a wide receiver, outside of Khalil Shakir, is still a massive question mark. It's another free agent receiver for the Bills that is kind of not doing anything. Palmer has, what, two targets tonight?
Two.
One is great, but he's kind of a non-factor in a night where Allen multiple times is just kind of running around, buying time, rolling to his right. No one's there. He's going to run for 2-3 yards. Coleman, the fourth quarter against Baltimore, had me very excited. And I genuinely thought, this is the start. Here we go. Haven't really seen much since.
By the way, Palmer, the other reception, it's the last play of the game.
So really one that actually matters.
Yeah, because that last play was terribly executed.
So I really don't know about the wide receivers.
But it's also 8 seconds with no timeout and a prayer. Mm-hmm. So what damage are you really going to be doing there, especially with the hook and ladder situation? But anyway, Palmer's looking like just a guy.
It's another free agent wide receiver addition that is just very underwhelming.
As a matter of fact, it kind of adds to a currently trending list of that as of late. But at the end of the day, I don't have the energy tonight to crash out on them about this. It's one loss, and it's more or less a challenge. You better get back to form next week on Monday. Because if not, this is going to be a long season for anyone and everyone involved.
Well, because then it becomes 4 weeks where you haven't looked particularly good. You won two, and maybe you win 3 or 4. But if it's 4 weeks where you haven't looked good...
Against, quite frankly, a soft schedule.
It's pointing to we're all just waiting a long time for the same story in January.
Oh, and the team.
And that's concerning.
And the team that was the most threatening to start the year is fishing for a top five pick.
Mm-hmm.
Baltimore's dead in the water.
And them, it's mainly just due to injuries. They've got no one really out there right now, but that's where they're at.
And it is just one of these things where we will see what they do, but it is going to be about a challenge this time around. Josh Allen was good in this game. I won't say great. Terrible interception where he threw to Shakir and he wasn't even close to open.
And it's in the red zone too.
In the red zone, it's not a play that you should be making. But at the same time, Allen was holding onto the ball for long amounts of time today, and it was more of an indictment on the receivers. But why do I bring up Josh Allen? Because it's time for Eye on the Quarterback. It's brought to you by Great Lakes Building Systems. We keep an eye on your business so you don't have to. Great Lakes Building Systems, our business is protecting your business. Allen, at the end of the day, 22 of 31, 253 yards, two touchdowns, that ghastly pick in the red zone that actually flips the game.
Mm.
Because the Patriots then go on a 90-yard touchdown drive right after that. It's a horrendous swing. It's a 14-point swing, really. Or actually, 10 to 14-point swing. Because I'd imagine the Bills would at least finish the drive with at minimum a field goal there when you're in the red zone. So it's tough. He also added 9 carries for 53 yards. A lot of that had to do with he didn't really do a lot of damage with his scrambles because he's trying to find something down the field, and it's just not there. So he has to settle for 3 or 4 yards. He has to settle for a little bit here, a little bit there, eventually getting to, I have to dodge some tackles and get 7 yards. It really did show a little bit of the offense being Josh Allen, a halfway decent co-star. Today it was not James Cook. It was Dalton Kincaid.
Mm-hmm.
And then some guys hanging out. Coleman, that was a bad fumble right in your own end, too. And the Bills defense did a great job making sure to limit that to 3. But Coleman, it was a lot of short game today. And then there were 2 back-to-back plays where Allen throws a fade up to Coleman, almost as if he doesn't even care to read the rest of it.
It just seems like, for the most part, that's all they really have for Coleman is just jump balls. If that's your second round pick at wide receivers, just jump balls. I don't even think this is totally on Coleman.
It's fine for if you have to get through the reads and it's, hey, I've got a better chance with Keon Coleman with someone attached to him mm-hmm. than me throwing this ball out of bounds. I'll take that chance. But when it's the set hut and then he throws it right away, those designs, no, those aren't there. Coleman's not there for those plays.
No.
He's there for the ones where, yeah, someone's been covering him the whole time, but he's able to come away with it. It's the play where Allen finds anything and anything possible of scrambling. He's all the way to his right. Clocks in, mm-hmm. rifles one, and Coleman makes an incredible catch. It's out of bounds because there's too much juice on the ball. But if that ball's inside, Coleman wins. It's the predetermined fade that doesn't work with Coleman. 803-0550 is the number to call. We get a chance to get connected to our fans. It's powered by Verizon, the official 5G partner of the Buffalo Bills. Let's go to Ken. Ken, you've been waiting patiently through the postgame show. Welcome into the overtime show. What do you got?
Oh, he is so angry about their performance. Hold on. Ken's coming. Oh. Ken, you're on the radio.
This is impressive. I love this. A passing of the phone, a passing of the torch to get on the air here. Ken, we got you.
Sorry about that.
No, hey,
hi.
You're waiting patiently. I get it.
So what I want to talk about was the underutilization of James Cook today. And so James Cook is obviously the third leading rusher in the league. And why didn't they use him more? Like, that was my question. Like, does anybody think the same way I do, or no?
It's not an underutilization. He had 15 carries, Ken. He averaged 3.3 yards per touch. New England sold out to stop him.
That was one of the things that New England did very well.
They did it very well today.
Well, I was just going to say, all year, that was their thing.
They defend the run
very
well.
Good at defending the run. And Ken, thanks for the call. It's just they did try to get that going. You can argue get him going in the pass game. He has one target today, and that's it. But in terms of the running game, there was just nothing there. There was nothing really to get going. Allen was the best at running the ball today, and that was more just due to the scrambles. Patriots for a little while. They really weren't covering it all that much.
Yeah.
But for Cook,
it's his worst game, and it's the Bills' offensive line's worst game, run blocking. New England did a great job. It's not an utter utilization. It's an underperformance. Tough to say, but that's what it was.
Mm-hmm. Let's go back to the phones. Who's been waiting longer? Let's go to Mark here. Mark, how are we doing this afternoon, this morning?
How's it going, guys? Derek and Zach. Great show. My points, I think everyone needs to take a deep breath. We are fine. We've been doing this for a couple years now where all that matters really is the playoffs. Like, I know it's tough to, like, stomach. We, you know, won five now, but stomach it. Like, take a deep breath. We are just a playoff team at this point. All that matters is the playoffs. Like, tonight we lose the turnover battle 3-1. That's bad. We have 4 sacks to 1. Bad. 11 penalties. Bad. It was a bad game. Like, dust it off. It's not something that we need to, like, talk about for hours and hours about what went wrong. What could we have done better? Yeah, I would have liked to win this game, obviously, and be 5-0. But, like, it was a bad performance. And all that matters, though, in the 16, 17 weeks is the playoffs. How do we look going into the playoffs? So a week 5 loss to New England, like, to me, is not that crucial. Like, in the season, like, everyone needs to take a deep breath. Like, take a breath, relax. We played a bad game. There are a lot of penalties on our side. There are a lot of defensive errors on our side, like giving up 4 sacks is not good on the offensive side. Turnover battle is bad.
Mm-hmm.
But just take a deep breath. And, like, does this game – I know it's tough to say, but does this game really matter? Like, 4-1 right now is great. Do we think we'd be 4-1 when we started the year at this point? I'm just saying, take a deep breath. Look at this. A lot of people are calling in and being very upset about, like, how we played, what we did, offense, defense. Like, take a step back and say, like, the long term, I don't think that this is a bad loss. I think we played very bad. I think that there are a lot of things to clean up, of course. You guys are harpooning on it, which is good. But I think that we need to just take a deep breath. Just see what went bad tonight and correct it, go forward. There are 15 more, weeks there are, but take a deep breath. We have the easiest schedule in the NFL from here on out. The AFC is absolutely tarnished. Baltimore's dead. The Patriots are not going to be challenging us for the AFC. Colts are what, the best team from here on out? Like, that is funny to me. And that should be what we're focused on. Not this one game, just the rest of the season. I know it's a bad game, but this is what we should be focusing on, is that it's not the end of the world that we lost this game. A lot to clean up, sure, but a lot of games left. Stay healthy, keep improving. Get to the playoffs, you know, cards fall where they will. But
yeah, Mark, thanks for the call. I think this game can mean a lot. The division race got interesting. As easy as the Bills' schedule is, the Patriots also have a very easy schedule, if not even easier than the Bills. My biggest problem is, and you mentioned it at the start of your phone call, you know, the last few years, the Bills have been a playoff team. Like, all that matters in January. What has changed? That's my big question. Even to start this year, what exactly has changed on the Bills from the last few years? Their secondary is still a massive problem. They still are not getting consistent pressures, and their offense still does not have a consistent weapon or two that Allen can reliably go to. Because you can look at these playoff games, and I know Shelton Bulldogger brought this up in the afternoon for both avenues. Not only did the defense give up 30 points for the first time all season to a Kansas City team that couldn't score, but then also, the last two playoff games, they've had the ball with a chance to score. But in many aspects, the skill players around Allen have failed. Kincaid, I'm starting to trust much more.
He had a great night tonight.
And even early, Allen throws, he thinks about running and then decides to chuck it, and it's a great diving catch by Kincaid. But ultimately, what has changed for them? I'm not trying to poo-poo the entire season, act like week five it's over because they're 4-1. It's not that. I think every team in the NFL kind of sucks, really outside of Detroit and maybe in Annapolis. Everyone has a really massive glaring issue that maybe can't be hidden, and it's going to be finding out who can attempt to hide it maybe the most. But for me, my problem is what has changed for the Bills over the last 2-3 years?
And that is going to be, you voice it as a concern. I voice it as a challenge. What has changed? Show me. You needed this slap in the face, honestly. You played your C game for 2 weeks and you got away with it. You played even sloppier than that tonight and you lost for it. This better be the call that says, all right, what's changed? Show me. You need to make sure that you don't keep this vibe that you put out for 3 weeks heading into the bye week. Please, thank you, you're welcome, for everybody's sanity, please. But you mentioned the rest of the teams around the league. And we'll do that on the other side of this break when we go brewing around the league, brought to you by Thin Man Brewery and their new Mafia Light, the official beer of Buffalo football tailgates. We'll come back. Take some of your calls. Take a timeout here. Go around the league because, well, let's face it, outside of one game, outside of two games today, the football was kind of unwatchable across the league. And we'll talk about that more coming up here on the Transitown Jeep Ram Overtime Show. I'm Derek Kramer. He's Zach Jones. This is WGR.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Going back in the first half, obviously got a look at the tape, but in terms of not being able to consistently get drive going, like what went into that for you guys there?
Yeah, just shooting ourselves in the foot. Got to make those corrections and move forward.
Is tonight a lesson, Dalton? And if you don't take care of the ball and get penalties, that they can come back to bite you in the end?
Yeah, absolutely. Penalties, taking care of the ball, all things that we've been doing well and didn't do well tonight.
That was Dalton Kincaid, brought to you from the locker room by Reimer Home Services. Homes rely on the Rhino. Welcome back in to the Transitown Jeep Ram Overtime Show. Transitown Jeep Ram, Buffalo's home for Jeep and Ram for 6 years and counting. Derek Kramer, Zach Jones here with you. Bills lose their first game of the year. Fall to 4-1 at the hands of the Patriots. 23-20. And it is fascinating that it's New England. It's typically New England that gives the Bills division losses. Because we've seen over the last like 5 years, Miami, they may finish second in the division, but they never seem to beat the Bills. They've done it one time in that stretch. The Jets, yeah, they've gotten a couple wins with Zach Wilson at quarterback.
Woo! Unbelievable. That's happened a few times.
But the Patriots are also the other team that challenges them the most, it seems, over these last couple of years, even when they're bad.
Allen has had struggles against that defense, kind of no matter who the coach is.
And speaking of coaches that the Bills struggle with, Mike Vrabel.
Mm-hmm.
Vrabel, again, notches another win against the Bills, and it's highly annoying. Punchable face. Look, man, he may have been the Titans coach when I said that, but, you know, things don't change.
No,
I could never challenge him on that, though.
No, things
I
do
would,
not change.
I would have a punched face. So,
he is a good culture builder, man.
He manages to get things done. I don't know how, but he manages to get things done. 23-20. Bills lose, and it is it's a tough one. It is. The way that they'd been playing over the last couple weeks really did kind of put the tea leaves out there. I ignored it. I didn't read them at all. That's on me. Here I was saying, yeah, it's going to be a tough night, but they'll end up winning the game. Nope.
No, I mean, I had that feeling for most of the game that they were going to just kind of annoy us all, turn it on, and to be fair, it looked like that to start the second half.
Yep.
That it was like, okay, yep, all right, they stopped playing with their food, here they go. You can only play your C game for so long, though, before it's going to bite you, and they've been playing that.
Tonight was not a C game.
No, I don't disagree. Like, they've only gotten worse kind of as the season's gone on. It's just, I get worried resting on the laurels of just what the record is. If we're going based off record, Pittsburgh's one of the best teams in football, yet we all kind of acknowledge they're probably not. The Bills are a tipped ball landing in Keon Coleman's mitts away from being 3-2. They've relied heavily the last 2 weeks on roughing the punter penalties to give them second wins. It has been very sloppy for most of this year. Really? Outside of the Jets game and the fourth quarter against Baltimore.
I'd say that as of late, the Bills have been waiting for their enemy to make mistakes. New England's mistakes happened concurrently with Buffalo's in the first half. Second half shows up. The Patriots play really good football. They don't make a mistake. And there it is.
Yep.
Done. Don't forget to be listening every Bills game day during Countdown to Kickoff for Tailgate Trivia presented by TSE Buffalo. You can win Buffalo Bills autographed merch item courtesy of Total Sports Enterprises Buffalo. We'll go back to the phones. Eddie, you've been waiting patiently. Welcome to the Overtime Show. What do you got for us?
Hey, guys, if you can just leave me on through the duration so I can hear your comments after I make some. You know, I wanted to talk about Stephon Diggs and the receiving core, but I just want to make a couple of quick comments. After the Bills fumble, when they you know, caught a break and Stevenson fumbled right away, I was on the phone at halftime, and with the way they were trading field goals, I said one of these quarterbacks is going to maybe get, you know, desperate and try to throw a pass that they shouldn't throw. And I said, I think Allen's come along, you know, far enough that he shouldn't be the guy that does it. And I thought it was going to be May. And when he threw the interception, you know, I was into double coverage. I was like, I really thought it was going to be, you know, the New England Drake May that was going to probably make that mistake. But it happened to be Josh. And, you know, Josh has been good at, you know, protecting the ball. So I'm not going to put too much emphasis on that. But when Buffalo got the break now and they get the ball back after the fumble, the play calling, it was atrocious. They run the ball, I think, and get, what, three yards maybe, sets up a second and seven. They throw back-to-back passes to Coleman, 50-50 passes. I just thought, you know, the play calling was just horrible at that point to try two passes. And they did it too on second and third down. They tried these 50-50s to Coleman. And I mean, the thing about Coleman too is, I mean, what's the deal with Coleman? Are you going to be satisfied, or anybody going to be satisfied? Because, you know, the way he plays, if he goes 6 for 11, you know, if you target him or 10 times, if he catches 6 of them, go 60%. I mean, because he lives off, you know, just a 50-50 ball pretty much. And but my thing was about Stephon Diggs. I would say Stephon Diggs is probably still one of the, you know, the better receivers in the league. I think on a lot of teams in this league, though, he could be a number two guy. And I was looking at things about how, you know, he was at one point, he was 8 for 146. And then for a drive or so, I didn't see him. And I was going, oh, you know, I don't know what happened. I don't know if he was cramping, came off the field. But like I said, he was 8 for 146. I think Shakir has led our team a couple of games at 67 yards total, you know, in a game. I mean, the fact that we don't, you know, everybody eats is just kind of a little bit, you know, I mean, it's fine. You know, I understand the philosophy behind it because I think we don't have a true number one. But, I mean, when you have a quarterback like Josh Allen, are we just really just letting these years go by not having a number one? I mean, I want to get a guy who's over 100 yards in a game every once in a while, you know. Is it really going to be the downfall plus the defense that really, you know, has Josh Allen for many years not being able to get, you know, to the big game? And I'll just listen to you guys, you know, and hear your comments.
Yeah, Eddie, thanks for the call.
At
least for me, Derek, everyone eats is fun and all, and I think it can work. When you have a group of guys that are consistently getting open, the Bills, for the most part, have really ignored the position, no matter what the GM wants to say. Because even in terms of getting open and guys that can quickly get the ball, Keon Coleman is not that.
Not to bitch about wide receiver here.
I know. But ultimately, like, that's the receiver that Allen works best with, is the guys that get open. Stephon Diggs is like the perfect template for that, right? He's the Mount Olympus of that, of just get open quick, get him the ball.
Right.
Keon is kind of the opposite of that. I'm not saying Keon's a bad player. What I am saying, though, is he doesn't really fit what has made Allen pop. And I go out and I watch Tampa and Seattle today.
Right. We were loving that game.
And you're watching Jackson Smith and Jigba and Emeka Ebuka go blow for blow. Great game for the quarterbacks. Don't get me wrong. Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield, great. Those two look like stars, Ebuka and Jackson Smith and Jigba. The Bills, for the most part, go discount shopping at receiver. They did so with Josh Palmer again this year, and they have for years past with Trent Sherfield and Deontay Hardy, and even going back further with Emmanuel Sanders on a retirement gig, just hoping to get one more ring. The biggest thing they've done at receiver is Stephon Diggs in a trade. But 2020 is a long time ago. We were all still wearing masks. It is a long time ago. The world has changed. The other receivers they've drafted is a slot receiver in Khalil Shakir, who is good. I'm not complaining about Shakir. But ultimately, he's not Amon-Ra St. Brown in the same vein. He is not that kind of slot receiver. And Keon, I just don't know what you're going to get from him. A fourth quarter where he was brilliant is awesome against Baltimore. But since then, it's been kind of spot duty. He doesn't get a lot of targets. He doesn't get a lot of volume. They really do not have a guy. Maybe it's Kincaid. Maybe it can be Kincaid at tight end, and that's certainly fine because it's worked for the Chiefs with Travis Kelce. It worked for the Eagles back in 2017 with Zach Ertz. The tight end can work. That's fine. But there were way too many times tonight where Allen is just kind of rolling out to his right. There's a ton of blocking. Everything's fine, except no one's getting open downfield.
Everybody eats. First of all, at this point, I think I need like a legitimate answer to what that means. I don't know what it means. And I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I know what it means anymore. And not that I'm sick of all of us not knowing what it means or thinking that we know what it means. We don't have a surefire answer on what it means, really. Really, we don't. But everybody eats as a mantra works when people are actually eating on the stat line too. Spreading the ball out is great. Never know what comes at them at that point. But yes, it would be nice to have somebody really help pull away. It would help to have wide receivers that Allen can target knowing that they're going to get themselves open. It would be nice. It's not going to happen this year. We're going to have to deal with that. Is that an issue you can live with for the year? Yes. I'm just not going to pretend like I even think
I know what everybody eats anymore.
It is an issue, though. You can't. I think that is one of them they can live with this year. Kansas City went to multiple Super Bowls with a pretty subpar receiver room. I mean, you got like guys like Sky Moore are actually getting snaps and targets, and he's a disaster in the NFL.
And Patrick Mahomes last year was also, compared to his typical career numbers, was dog water.
You can, but you can live with that.
But they also have a great defense to complement that. The Bills do not have that.
Mm-hmm.
They used to. They do not. My problem here is, today I only trusted the tight end to get open. I'm just not going to, like, this is a thing that I guess I'm doing for myself, and I suppose that for anyone that listens to us. I'm not going to pretend like I know what it means anymore, because I don't know what it means. I'm not going to sit here and lie to myself, or lie to any of you, like I know what it means. I don't know what it means. I don't think I'm ever going to know what it means.
What it means is Allen's an MVP-level quarterback and is already a top 10 talent at the position all time. James Cook's probably going to be another Pro Bowl year running back. And I don't say this disrespectfully. He's also on an all-pro level year, but just it's early. I don't want to say he's going to be an all-pro definitively. And they just make things work at times. Most of the time, less than talent.
For a poster that says everybody eats, Josh Allen's the big guy on the starring Josh Allen. And right now I can really only put two guys on the screen, James Cook and Dalton Kincaid.
Yeah, and that's really about it. Everyone else,
but I'm not gonna.
If they get a catch a game, it's great.
I'm not going to feign ignorance like I know what it means, though, anymore. I'm not. You can say it. I don't know what to believe about it anymore. And I guess I need help with the definition, because I don't know what it means.
Let's go back to the phones. Matt is up next. Matt, how are we doing?
I'm doing good. How you doing, man?
Doing well.
I was at the game today, and the defense, it was okay. It kind of struggled. Like, we have Jordan Poyer on the passer squad. Why don't they call him up?
Yeah, man, I'm not doing that. I just watched Trey White get cooked for like 200 yards total between two different receivers. I'm not calling up another guy for nostalgia bait. I'm not doing it. I like Jordan Poyer. I love Trey White. I'm not doing it anymore. I can't. You just watched Trey White get cooked for 3 hours, and the thought is, let's bring in Jordan Poyer. I want that.
Right. You know what? Should we take a break? I think we should take a break.
I'm fine with that.
Let's take a break. Hang in there, everyone that has been hanging out. Thank you for everybody that's been listening right now to the Transitown Jeep Ram Overtime Show. I'm Derek Kramer. He's Zach Jones. We got one more segment for you. Somehow we're kicking light right along right now here at 2 o'clock in the morning on WGR.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We didn't take advantage of our opportunity. I thought our defense played well and they bailed us out a couple times, but it's not going to win many NFL games turning the ball over three times.
Josh Allen saying what we were all thinking.
That's probably right.
And that's Josh Allen from the locker room, brought to you by Reimer Home Services. Homes rely on the Rhino. Patriots 23, Bills 20, as it's the first loss of the campaign for the Bills.
No undefeated team, by the way, before Monday night of week five.
It was cute having Buffalo as the last undefeated team for 4 hours. And then that first happened. First half happened. Brother, did that first half happen all right? That was taken right out of my memories of the drought, yanked out of the back of my skull, and dropped right in front of me and all of us for our eyeballs to see once again.
I had a bad weekend of football.
That was a first half.
I had a bad weekend of football.
That was a first half.
I watched Texas versus Florida.
Oh, no.
Got upset at that. Turned on the games today. Most of the 1 o'clock window was garbage.
It was
mostly Seattle, trash. Tampa really saved me today at 4:05.
And you were, most of that game was you screaming at Red Zone to put it back on.
Well, because up until the last 30 seconds of Arizona-Tennessee, why are you showing me that? Same thing with Detroit and Cincinnati. Get Jake Browning off my television. It's offensive. Give me back to the battle out west.
And it was indeed a battle.
Come on.
It was an awesome game to watch.
Yeah, I'm watching uniform aesthetic galore and Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold going throw for throw, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, Emeka Ebuka becoming stars before our eyes. And they're like, let's go back to Cincinnati where Detroit scored again. Cool.
Speaking of uniforms, the rivalries are 1-2.
That's tough. Arizona, Buffalo, the two teams that fell with those on. Miami won with theirs.
Miami played against the Jets. That doesn't count.
I mean, it counts.
It doesn't count.
It does count.
It counts, but it doesn't count.
They also had a horrific loss today. 17-0 lead on Carolina. They lose 27-24.
Good for Carolina.
Good for Carolina. Really bad for pretty much everyone in Miami. Really
and
bad.
Considering that Arizona bailed out Brian Callahan from being the first coach fired, it's back on the spotlights on McDaniel again.
Very much back on the spotlight.
Back on McDaniel again. But, by the way, some weird parallels for this game. The last time Stephon Diggs faced Buffalo, last year against Houston, Stephon Diggs was the leading receiver in a 23-20 win.
Oh, wow.
Stephon Diggs tonight was the leading receiver
yeah.
in a 23-20 win.
Do you have his Houston statistics up?
I don't have it up.
I was going to say, clearly they're below this. This is one of his better games in a few years.
Nico Collins would have been the leading receiver if not for the injury he sustains immediately after his catch.
Now Diggs was great tonight. I mean, I saw someone nationally say like he arrived at the moment, or the moment wasn't too big for him. That much was clear. I mean,
the moment's never been too big for him.
Well, the playoffs, he oftentimes disappeared or really had bad moments. But in terms of just, I mean, this is kind of what makes him great. He kind of like made up the scenario in his head, probably of like the rivalry that is him and the Bills,
right.
And the return to Highmark. He was great tonight. He was easily the best receiver on the field. He was Drake May's safety blanket and big play target. May looked great tonight. I am fascinated at what that rivalry is going to be the next few years going between Allen and May, because there were a few moments tonight. Yep, I can see the Allen comparison. He has one throw to Diggs. He's getting dragged down, I believe, by Daquan Jones. Still completes the pass.
If the Bills lose 23-20 in week 15, I swear to God.
Could happen.
At that point, find a way to get Diggs traded.
Could happen, but May is the person I walked away impressed with. I didn't walk away impressed with New England as a team. I walked away very impressed with May and Vrabel.
Yeah, they couldn't run the ball at all.
As a unit of, okay, you've got the most important pieces figured out. Now it's time for you guys to figure out everything else to get to where the Bills are at. We'll see if this becomes a division race. It absolutely can be now. New England has a very soft schedule moving forward. Their next two games are what? New Orleans and Tennessee? There is a very real chance they are 5-2.
And
for the Bills, your next game is an Atlanta team. And I watched Stephon Diggs torch Trey White. Now you get Drake London. Now you get Kyle Pitts. Now you get Bijan Robinson.
And that's the other side of the coin. New England does not have a run game. Atlanta does.
And so, like, I think this was also needed in the sense of looking at the team very honestly. Now it's no longer Yeah, they're putting up 31 points. They didn't look particularly good. They put up 30, you know, like all that stuff. And I'm not.
They got away with a C game and put up 30 points.
Yeah, I'm not making fun of it because I'm a part of that. It's just that's kind of how it went when they're 4-0. You don't want to act so negative. You don't want to say things too negative because, yeah, you kind of sound like a Grinch. But now looking ahead to a team like Atlanta, Monday Night Football, I don't feel great about this defense and the situation they're in. I don't know if Ed Oliver is going to be coming back. He was limited all week in practice, but he's still walking with a noticeable limp. It's not as egregious as before, and he is practicing, and there was some explosiveness, but I don't know if he'll be back yet. That secondary is not going to be any better. It's going to be the exact same unit.
And, again, like I said to open the show, this loss allows you to start teeing off on the issues that you've seen for 3 weeks. It's kind of the culmination. Because, let's be real. You do feel a little dirty inside when the Bills score 31 points, win by two possessions, and...
And you kind of hate it all of it.
And you hate all of it.
Mm-hmm.
Now you get to kind of tee off a little bit. And I just want to tell everyone, don't burn out. It's week 5, long season ahead of you. Take care of your mentals.
I got stamina. I can go.
Take care of y'all mentals.
I was a Texas fan and a Bills fan in the 2010s. I'll be fine. I got time.
No, I'm just saying.
I got weeks.
We got a long season.
I got months.
We got a long season.
I'll be just fine.
We've got 13 weeks and 12 games left. Buckle up.
I'll be just fine.
But again, I challenge the Bills now. Fix the vibes because they look stinky right on time for the Sabres to show up.
It's so disrespectful for you to say that. Just unbelievable. My mood was starting to turn around. My mood was starting to swing, and you've done that. It's the same with Nate tweeting in the middle of, like, I think the third quarter, when does Sabre season start? And I'm like, guys, can we just not for a day? And I'm actually, like,
it's getting... Sabres town. And deal
I'm
with it.
And I'm actually, like, kind of getting excited for them, too. But, like, when we bring them up in this context, I'm like, nope, just, not today.
This has always been a Sabres town, haven't you known?
Not today, Satan. Not doing
today,
it.
Satan.
Not falling for that bait.
I'm Satan. I'm thinking of the Stephen Lynch song.
But no,
get that away from me.
You're right. You don't want to burn out from this. It's a long season. I know Bulldog has made the joke as well of, like, I don't know if we're going to make it to January, and I'd probably fall in that as well.
Yes.
But it is also because this organization is a little bit on a knife's edge for a lot of people. You have been one of the best teams in football for an extended period of time. You have also not made a Super Bowl yet. And to be fair, for many, it does feel like you are starting to fall into the category of you're going to waste an all-time talent. And in part, I know some are going to get frustrated by this. I don't even think it's necessarily a coaching issue.
I was just going to get there.
I think it is a talent issue.
I think the general manager needs to wear a little bit more of this, and the head coach needs to wear a little less.
Maybe a little less. And it's not really to exonerate McDermott from a lot of his issues. When I hear people compare him to James Franklin, I kind of think it's a little apt. I think it's a fair comparison.
And yet at the same time, I'm also dealing with the failures of the past, like 13 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Quite honestly, the Cincinnati game was the first time around before the Hamlin incident happens. Kind of showed you that they were in a different class. And then, you know, kind of looking a little not great to get through the postseason. And it's the fact that you keep losing to the Chiefs. Yeah, you might have a bugaboo there. There might be an actual head coach has a Chiefs problem.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have to find that out. But I also think the general manager doesn't wear this as much as he should.
No, I mean,
if the head coach is getting blame here, I would like to see a team that has more than one All-Pro on it.
I mean, I believe I'm right on this, but since 2019, they've drafted one Pro Bowler. It's James Cook.
And we've given the Ravens a little bit of flack for having, like, a good PR group and everything like that, and, like, how many Pro Bowlers, how many All-Pros they had last year, for example. The Bills have one. One. That number, if you really want to break through, typically needs to be higher. And that's not on the head coach. Not exclusively. It's on the general manager.
Mm-hmm.
803-0550 is the number to call. Joey, you've been waiting patiently. Thanks for waiting.
welcome to the Overtime Show. What you got for us?
Yo, yo, Zach and Derek, did I get that correct?
You did.
Awesome. Hey, guys, you guys have let me on the air multiple times over the years. I just want to say thank you. All right.
Thank you.
I know the patience that you guys have to deal with. I called about 2 hours ago. I was talking with Nate, and then one of the first things I said is, well, Sean McDermott's probably going to come on the air, and he came on the air. So
yeah, you nailed that. You nailed that.
You did nail that. You understand the game.
Well, I really do, but the past couple of minutes, and if it's okay, if I can just have 2 minutes, I'm probably going to say one thing that's going to make you want to press that end button, but don't worry. I'm very punctual, professional. I'm not going to do anything to ruin your airtime. I can talk hours about what happened. Look, like you said, it's the beginning of October. You know, the Bills are still one of the best teams in the NFL, but mainly that's because of our superhuman Josh Allen. And not every game, he can't just make things happen every single game. You know, it was weird. Like I said, just give me another minute and 30 seconds, please. I saw James Cook on the sideline on third downs probably 3 or 4 times. And I get it, schemes, you know, Ty Johnson, he's a great receiver. Honestly, at this point, he is so close to Josh Allen. Like, why is he on the sideline on third down? You know, and people are saying we need a separator at wide receiver. We need to trade for this. We need to trade for that. We need to do this and that. 2 hours ago when I called in, I really wasn't that mad. I was like, okay, we lost, whatever. I listened to you guys for a little bit. I shut off the radio, and I'm just thinking in my head, man. I'm like, Sean McDermott has coached this team for 9 years in a row, and I know it doesn't 100% fall on him, but there's going to come a point in time where his players don't believe in his philosophy. And like I said, he's a great coach, but the 13 seconds and that Damar Hamlin fake punt and these weird decisions when it matters the most, all I've been thinking about for an hour straight is, are we going to go another 10 years of being a great 10, 11, 12, 13 win regular season, get to the AFC championship? And you guys know as well as I do, timeouts need to be called at a certain time. Certain substitutions need to happen at a certain time. This is just one game. But in my honest opinion, I really have a hard time believing that Sean McDermott is going to get us there. Josh Allen is in his prime right now, and he's going to be in his prime next year, the first year in our new stadium. But 2 or 3 years from now, his running is going to start declining. His arm strength is never going to stop. He's always going to whip that ball. But I just feel, I don't know what it is. It's not the offensive coordinator. It's not the pass rush. It's not the cornerbacks. It's not the receivers. It's not the running back. The head coach is accountable when we win and when we lose. But our team is just continuously lost these games, especially in the playoffs. And this is my point. We're 0-4 against the Chiefs in the playoffs, and most people overlook this. Andy Reid was Sean McDermott's boss for years. The one person, the one coach in the NFL that knows Sean McDermott better than anybody else is Andy Reid. But the thing I wanted to make is, and I was on Twitter, if you want to support Sean McDermott, that's fine. I think he is a phenomenal coach, a phenomenal leader. But correct me if I'm wrong. He has the worst points per game in NFL playoff history. I believe it's at around 32 points per game. Do you know how hard it is to score 4.5 to 5 touchdowns in a playoff game, especially against?
Yeah, Joey, all right. I gave you more than enough time there. You said 2.5 minutes, and you're taking forever. I get the point. You don't want McDermott around anymore. You're dancing around it. You don't want McDermott anymore. It's also week 5, and if they are really going to be an 11-13 win team and always going to the AFC Championship, yes, he will stay for 10 years. That would be an incredible run. And they likely would stumble, probably, if that's true, into a Super Bowl championship. They likely would. Bad coaches win the Super Bowl all the time.
Ready?
Mike McCarthy, Doug Peterson.
Zach Taylor made one.
Made a Super Bowl. If that really is what they do, they'll probably fall into it. Andy Reid's not going to coach forever. And you kind of lost me when you all of a sudden wanted to stop blaming any players and just go right to the coach. Because that you're dancing around it. Just say you want him fired.
Or at least, so ready, it's this. We're going to find out. We're all going to find out together in January, aren't we? That's the only answer I've got for that right now. I'm not going to get into this talk about McDermott in week 5 after the Bills' first loss of the campaign. I'm not doing it. Matter of fact, I don't have the patience for that.
No, and also, as I just said, I think he gets too much of the flack. I think the GM needs to be.
And I think the GM needs to start wearing
the fire
this.
A little bit more.
Yes, and I'm with you on that. The GM needs to start wearing it more. He does. Because at the end of the day, there's only so much you can do. And when I say that, I mean McDermott has worn it in the past when he had one of the best safety tandems in the National Football League. But you bring back Milano, as he's been having a history of injuries. What's he do? He gets hurt again. You bring back Trey White, and it looks like he's... They re-signed Milano, and they kept it going, more or less.
Mm-hmm.
You re-sign Trey White, and it looks like he is becoming a little bit more of a liability every week. I know it is more symbolic than anything at this point, but you bring back Jordan Poyer. And he's on the practice squad. Enough so that somebody called about it. You bring back Jordan Phillips for the 5th time. Your first rounds since grabbing Josh Allen. Have you nabbed a star player? Have you nabbed a consistent player? You have nabbed one bust who got benched on his second team already. On the defense, there is no star player. They're all pretty good. At least the ones that got extensions. And every now and then, those pretty good players also get exposed. Every now and then, those pretty good players disappear for 4 weeks at a time until they show up on the first drive of the game. And then it was a smattering of plays from Rousseau throughout. There's no star player on the defense. Kansas City is Chris Jones. Kansas City is Trent McDuffie. Kansas City is one of the best defenses in the league. For years, you put an entire draft class worth of stock into your defense. I got a third rounder that can't even see the field. And a loaded safety class, and you got none of that.
Xavier Watts on Atlanta looks pretty good.
So does Billy Bowman on Atlanta.
Yeah, they did do that, didn't they?
Didn't they?
They did do that, didn't
they? So yeah, the head coach does wear it. GM needs to wear it more too. Thanks for the call. Ron and Olean, what do you say we send this madness off?
How are we doing, buddy? Thanks for taking my call, Zach.
I'm actually all right. I've watched terrible football this weekend, Ron, though. So please. Be okay.
It's not doom and gloom.
Yeah. Did you watch Texas this weekend, Ron? It's pretty doom and gloom over in Austin.
But the problem they have is they can't stretch the field.
No, they can't.
If they can't stretch the field, teams only have to cover 25 to 30 yards of the field, downfield. And it reckons back to the Doug Flutie days when everybody bitched that, I'm sorry that I said that word, but when we put in Rob Johnson in the playoff game against the Titans. The league figured Flutie out. He couldn't throw the ball 20 yards downfield.
No, yeah, and Ron, you're right. I mean, you saw it also.
Thanks for the call, Ron.
You saw it tonight. I think it was maybe in the second or third quarter, but they showed what Allen's statistics were when he passed the ball 15 yards downfield compared to 15 and in. He was much better passing the ball down the field. They pushed everyone in. They were going to stop that. The Bills don't have anyone that's going to separate. They're not going to have anyone that stretches the field. It's not necessarily even a speed element. They don't have anyone that is as good of a route runner on the boundaries that can cause problems. It's week five, but I don't think it's ridiculous to immediately already saying you're looking at wide receivers in this year's draft class.
Should be.
You probably should be because, again, Josh Palmer is a free agent. Kind of whatever. Three-year deal, what, $30 million, something like that?
Mm-hmm.
Not really doing much. Kalush Kier, a good slot receiver, if not very good slot receiver, but not a great one because I'm not putting him in the same category as Amon-Ra St. Brown, as Jaxon Smith-Njigba. That's ridiculous. So I think he's a good to very good slot receiver. But I'm already looking at guys like Carnell Tate out of Ohio State. Because they seem to just produce those guys. They're growing on trees over there.
They're just
there.
Like, hey, here's a wide receiver from Ohio State.
You know, Zachariah Branch, from Georgia. Because they don't have anyone that is going to scare you. The guys that scare you are Josh Allen and James Cook. Both are incredible at what they do. But James Cook also never really became the receiving threat that he was pegged out of Georgia. He's actually, funny enough, became a bell cow running back at under 200 pounds. It's incredible. And I give all credit in the world to James Cook for that. He avoids big hits. He's great at it. And he's on pace for an all-pro type season. But those are the guys that scare you. Kincaid may develop into that.
And Kincaid is the one that, tonight especially, was the only one I could trust when it comes to getting separation out there. Working the underneath and really finding his way out there. There's a really impressive third down play where Allen wants to go to him right away. There's players there. They're all within the zone. And then Kincaid sneaks out. Shuffles off left and then up the field. Great play. Great awareness. I need to keep seeing more of that from him. But he was the only player I could really trust in this game. And it makes sense because he was 6 targets, 6 catches. His first 100-yard game of his career. So it makes sense. But yeah. Talking about, we don't have a wide receiver to stretch the field. I don't want to be accused of bitching about wide receiver, though. So, I guess I'll need to let that go. Today, on WGR, in about 2.5 hours, am I doing my math right? 3.5 hours? Zach, help me out here. Three and a half hours. I can't do math. It's 2:30 in the morning. It's a Buffalo Bills Football Monday presented by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Jeremy and Joel will break the game down starting at 6 a.m. 3.5 hours from now. Then it's the Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio from 10 to noon, followed by One Bills Live with Chris Brown and Steve Tasker at noon. Shelton Bulldog take over at 3 p.m. on a Buffalo Bills Football Monday all day this morning. On the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550. Patriots 23, Bills 20. And again, my final thoughts on this, Zach, and I'll let you have yours to end this thing. I give the Bills a challenge. Over 3 weeks, you've harshed the vibes. You have an opportunity now to get to the bye week on a high note. The Atlanta Falcons are a very inconsistent group with a second-year quarterback, though they do have some top-end talent, and a defense that is getting better. You have a chance to put away a lot of concerns by winning, maybe even healthily, against Atlanta, a team that also has a history of getting in its own way. I challenge the Bills for this. Show me what issues I can live with. Show me what issues are going to become questions throughout the year. Show them to me. Because what the Bills have faced through the first month, I can't even call the Ravens a good team anymore. They're 1-4.
No, yeah, even when their defense was healthy, it was
bad.
It was a fairly bad unit.
Show me that you're not going to call a grab bag of offensive plays to start the game. Flea flickers and tight end reverses. Who gave Joe Brady the pixie sticks? I need the Bills to show me what of these issues that were brought up over 3 weeks' time now, what can I live with? And what has changed? That is the challenge. And I know I don't speak for just myself.
Yeah, I think for me it's that stuff. It's just for me it's much more of I it's basically the same thing. I'm just in a much more pessimistic attitude with it. Through 5 weeks, nothing from the last few years has changed. Allen is still great. James Cook is still very good, if not great, at the running back position. The offensive line is still very good, but their secondary is poor. The linebackers, safeties, wide receivers, It's just a lot of, they're okay, they're good. And because they have a top 10 all-time talent at the position at quarterback in Josh Allen, they'll win 11 to 13 games. I just, for me, it feels like we are going to take the long road to the same story in January. I don't know who that defense can stop. I don't feel great. And it's the night of slash morning of the game. So give me, on Tuesday, we'll see if I feel the same way. But looking at Atlanta's roster, and you're right, they're an inconsistent group as well. But the way this unit plays, that defense, it just screams a game where Bijan and Drake London are able to dominate. I'm at home, by the way. This is going to be in Atlanta. Feels like it could be a pretty big game, and it could be for 2 years in a row. Bills week 4 and week 5 really struggle and have to make a move again at the deadline to address something that they should have absolutely done in the offseason.
And if that's the case, that's another indictment on a general manager,
mm-hmm.
not on a head coach. But that's just me. Don't forget to let TRS Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical Excellence intercept your heating bills this season. Enter now at WGR550.com for a chance to win $1,200 toward your home heating costs. Don't fumble this opportunity like the Bills and Patriots did plenty of in this game on Sunday night. Contest ends January 4th, 2026. TRS Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical Excellence. Powering tomorrow, comforting today. Thank you to everyone that's called in. Thank you to everyone that listened. Thank you to Tanner Sanders over here on the board. Is it Sanders or Saunders? Do I keep messing up your name, Tanner? There's a U. It is Saunders. See? TJ Sanders, Tanner Saunders. There we go. That's your way to get it. For Tanner Saunders on the board, for my co-host Zach Jones, I'm Derek Kramer. This has been the Transit Town Jeep Ram Overtime Show. Transit Town Jeep Ram, Buffalo's home for Jeep and Ram for 60 years and counting. Once again, Patriots 23, Bills 20. It's the first loss of the season. We've got a long year ahead of us. Don't go too mad. Jeremy and Joe get things started again for you in about 3.5 hours here on the radio home of the Buffalo Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Fee and fees apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.